Ezekiel chapter 11. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of Yahweh's house, which looks eastward. At the door of the gate were 25 men. I saw in their midst Jaazaniah and Pelatiah, princes of the people. He said to me, "Son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and who give wicked advice in this city, who say, 'The time is not near to build houses. This is the cauldron and we are the meat.'" So there again, he's being shown how sinful the leaders of God's people really were. And I think because he was a priest, he somewhat doubted that this is how it was. When he was earlier shown this kind of thing in vision going on in the temple, God kept saying to him, "Ezekiel, do you see this? Do you understand this?" As if he didn't like to admit that really they were as sinful as they were. "Therefore prophesy against them. The Spirit of Yahweh fell on me, and he said to me, 'Speak, thus says the Lord, thus you have said, house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind.'" Wow, what a statement. "I know the things that come into your mind." God knows the human mind. He knows our motivations. He knows our imaginations, our fantasies. "You have multiplied your slain in this city. You have filled its streets with the slain." It's as if the judgment that was going to come on the city was their fault, because of their mind, because of how they were thinking. You might think that God might judge people heavier for idol worship and things like that, but he's actually ultimately interested in what goes on in the human mind, and it's the same today. He's concerned about what we think. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, your slain, whom you have laid in its midst, they are indeed the meat, and this is the cauldron, but you shall be brought out of its midst. You have feared the sword, and I will bring the sword on you. I will bring you out of its midst and deliver you into the hands of foreigners, who will execute judgments among you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you by the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh." So the border of Israel was the Euphrates, and that's where some of them were taken when they went into captivity in Babylon. And the hope was that there they would know Yahweh. And of course they thought that they knew the Lord. They were religious people. But he's saying, "You don't know me, and you're only hopefully going to come to know me in exile when you are away from all your religious system that you think justifies you. This shall not be your cauldron, neither shall you be the meat in its midst. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, for you have not walked in my laws, but have behaved like the nations that are around you." So it's because they behaved like the nations around them that they were sent to the nations around them to be in exile there. "When I prophesied, Pelatiah died. Then I fell down on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, 'Ah, Lord Yahweh, will you make a full end of those remaining of Israel?'" So Ezekiel doesn't shrug and think, "Yeah, well, he was an idolater, that serves him right." He has a real heart that bleeds for his people, even though they are so sinful. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Son of man, the people who live in Jerusalem are talking about you and those of your nation who are with you in exile. They say, the exiles are too far away to worship Yahweh. He has given us possession of the land.'" So again, you see how they were thinking that you could only worship God in the temple. And the fact that the exiles were in Babylon, they said, "Oh, that's too far. They don't have a relationship with God." But that was the point of the vision we saw in chapter 10, that the cherubim, this awesome system of God's glory, was in the temple. And then we saw it departing to the east, away from Jerusalem towards Babylon. And then Ezekiel says, "But this is the same glory that I saw in vision here by the river Kibar in Babylon." So it's not true that you're too far away to worship Yahweh. David realized that when he was exiled from the sanctuary. He kept worshiping God, and Jonah made the same mistake. He thought that he could run away from God by going far away, but he couldn't, because of course God is everywhere, even under the sea, as Jonah came to understand. Therefore, thus says the Lord, whereas I have removed them far off among the nations, and whereas I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them a sanctuary for a little while in the countries where they have come. I think the idea is that, yeah, you can worship God outside of the Jerusalem sanctuary. I will be a sanctuary for them, even in Gentile countries. And that's, I think, what Ezekiel did. I think he, by the river Kibar, had his little sanctuary for a little while. That little while was intended to be the 70 years that they were intended to be in captivity. I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. They shall return, they shall take away all its abominations. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my laws and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. They'd broken the old covenant, and so in Jeremiah we're told that God offered them a new covenant, and the same language is used, that this new covenant would involve being given God's Spirit inside them so that they wanted to be obedient. Now that is what every spiritual person wants. We want to be obedient. We want to have the mind and thinking of God. And so, we are now under the new covenant, and the same promise of the Spirit, not in terms of miracles and tongues and stuff like that, but the idea of being given a new heart, a soft heart, a heart of flesh and not a hard heart, is made to us. But as for those whose heart, you see the emphasis on the mind all the time, as for those whose heart walks after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their way on their own heads, says the Lord. So he's offering them a new heart. He's offering them a new spirit. But those whose heart was taken up with their idolatry would not get it because they didn't want it. Then the cherubim lifted up their wings, and the wheels were beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. The glory of Yahweh went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain to the east of the city. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me in the vision by the Spirit of God back into Chaldea, to Babylonia, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me, and I repeated to those of the captivity all the things that Yahweh had shown me. So the idea is that this huge system of God's glory was leaving Jerusalem by the way of the east and going towards Babylon, and was going to be there with the exiles by the river Kibar. So you can never get away from God's presence. Never think that because you have no religious structure, no church if you like to go to, no temple, no cathedral, that therefore you are somehow not with God, that his presence is not there. The awesome nature of the vision of the cherubim, I think, was to show them that really and truly God is for real, and he is very real and present with you wherever you are, if you want that.